Welcome to another edition of Always Right with Rochelle, the Right Now Coach. Today I'm delighted to be talking with Dr. Barbara Ann Kipfer, a lexicographer, archaeologist, and the best-selling author of nearly 40 books, including 14,000 Things to Be Happy About, 4,000 Questions for Getting to Know Anyone and Everyone, and Field Guide to Happiness, a manual for identifying happiness in its natural habitat. Dr. Kipfer is managing editor and chief lexicographer for Dictionary.com, Thesaurus.com, and Reference.com. Welcome, Barbara.
Thank you.
So good to have you. I was interested to read that you started your list of 14,000 things to be happy about in sixth grade.
Yeah.
Can you talk about what prompted you to begin the list and how that kind of made it into a book?
Well, I never really could see using a diary format for myself. It was very popular back in the time. It was 1966, and there were certainly plenty of people around me with their little locked diaries, but I didn't think my life was exciting enough that if I wrote it all down, I'd want to go back and read it again. And it didn't seem like a very happy thing either, just to go back over day-to-day activities. I mean, I recognized that I was just a sixth-grade kid, and it really wasn't, you know, it wasn't all about me and, you know, what I thought. So I started to write down things that gave me just a moment of happiness or a lot of happiness or were making other people happy. It just seemed, it was just like a really natural thing to do. And I had a little spiral notebook that I carried around with me that everybody made a lot of fun out of. And so there, I probably showed it to a few people and then kind of kept it quiet for a while. And I never stopped. I've been doing it for over 40 years now. I still write stuff down just about every day.
Then people can read it on your blog, right?
Yeah. Well, it's the site's been up for 10-plus years, and the blog is kind of new. But the site itself, the database of happy stuff, is over 100,000 things now.
Wow.
The other books that I've written, especially for Workman Publishing, which did that book, are all on the site, too, in different places.
Okay.
And you can search their databases, too. They're not quite as big, but they're big enough.
Wow. So how did this idea get to be a book, or how did this practice get to be a book?
It wasn't really ever my intention, especially in sixth grade, that anything would happen other than I would just write it down. But I kept going from one book to notebook to the next, and it kept getting bigger, and I got to the point where, I guess it was around 1980, when I first really started using computers at work, I realized that, you know, maybe it would be a good idea since I had all these notebooks to type it up so that I didn't lose it. That was really the first intention. So when I typed it up and realized how many entries I had, because I had no clue, I had edited it over the years, you know, like I'd get a new notebook and then I'd write everything over into the new notebook. I don't know why I did stuff like that, but for me that was fun. And so when I saw how many there were, which was about, I'd say, 20,000 at that point,
wow,
I said, you know what, let's just try to get it published. Because I'd been a journalist, so I was a little bit aware of book publishing, but hadn't certainly gotten into it. And I said, well, before I die, I'll get this published. I just kind of wanted to share it. I didn't really have any, you know, goals other than before I die. So for 10 years, I wrote to publishers every 6 months. I wrote to Workman Publishing, the eventual publisher, every 6 months for 10 years. A lot of other publishers I eventually stopped, but that one,
wow,
I have after them. So after 10 years, and he kept... Peter Workman would write me a note, or, you know, send me a postcard or something, a letter, and he would say, I just don't get this. Finally, after 10 years, I think what happened was the last year I decided to send him the whole thing. So I printed the whole thing and sent it to him, and his explanation eventually was that he took it home and he had it sitting on a table, and he kept looking at it off and on, and then he finally got what it was, that it was just something you would pick up, open to a page, something would hit you as being, you know, somehow meaningful to you, and it would make you happy. So he did end up publishing it.
And it's a great story because now it's a really big seller.
Well, it's been in print for almost 20 years. It about 5 years ago, it hit the million mark. So that
was
pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, that's really cool. Well, I really love this new book, Field Guide to Happiness, because it's just jam-packed with exercises for people who want to think about their own life and what they love. So I'm curious about your process for how you came up with so many different writing tools.
Hello?
I'm sorry. Did you miss my question?
Yeah. No, I started coughing.
Oh, no. We're very casual here, so it's no big deal. I'm just curious about Field Guide to Happiness and how you came up with all these great exercises.
Well, that was pretty easy to start out with when I was working on the list part. When I got into the journals and the mind mapping, it got a little bit harder. But I've always wanted to share my approach because I think it's a little bit different than the diary, where there's no rules.
Mm-hmm.
Like, any way you want to go about this is a great exercise, because when you write things down, no matter what method you choose, you're actually doing that gratitude thing.
Okay.
Where you are thinking about the things that are good, and you are focusing on the positive, and you're writing them down, so you're actually capturing that. And in a way, you're kind of sharing it, because if you leave it around, somebody, either who you're with now or, you know, eventually your children, will get to read that, and they will benefit from it.
Wow. Well, you clearly have this knack for generating interesting and marketable book ideas. Do you have tips? I mean, our program's really geared to people who write, and so do you have tips for these people who are looking for the book idea that's going to make them a bestseller like you?
It's pretty hard. I think that, excuse me, the main thing that's worked for me has been, if I write a book that I would really want, it's a book that I would buy, that I really wanted to have, that worked out.
Hmm.
So if I did, you know, the Happy List was certainly the definitive example of my 15 minutes of fame. And I'm not kidding myself that that won't happen again, because I don't think it will. I think that was my thing.
Yeah.
But the other ideas, especially things like the wish list and the words of wisdom and a couple of reference books I had, like The Order of Things, which is little hierarchies and classifications.
Mm.
They were books that I wanted to have that didn't exist. So writing them was fun, and the ideas came easily. But it's hard. It's very hard to come up with ideas now because of how many I've done.
Yeah.
So there are certain areas that I haven't gone into too far, so I still have some more ideas, and I hope to publish them. But as far as the list books go, it's getting a little harder, just a little bit, because I've kind of done the fun ones that I'm so into. And I would love to do, you know, a giant book of happiness where I could put all 100,000 things in one book, because I think that'd be way cool for people to have, but that's going to be a little hard to get done.
Oh, hard to get between the covers, too. So I was really just mesmerized by your resume that you've earned 2 doctorates, 2 master's degrees, and a bachelor's degree, plus you've written almost 40 books.
Yeah,
so
I'm pretty much 100 years old.
Well, and you're not. That's the funny thing. So I'm wondering, clearly you have some writing habits and practices, disciplines that help you to get this done, and I'm thinking maybe you can teach us something.
Well, I guess I just can't let a day go by without a couple things happening. One is I need to learn things. I really need to learn things. So I think that's what keeps me working on things, because that's the way I learn.
Mm-hmm.
So by writing things down, I'm either experiencing another world or learning facts or, you know, just totally going into a different area that I don't know anything about. So that's very important to me, is this just has always existed. And then the other thing is that I feel like I must accomplish something every day. Now, that's really doesn't sound, that sounds like workaholic, pushing yourself, but it's not really in that way. It's kind of like instead of choosing to watch TV or do some other kind of hobby, what I do is write things as my hobby.
Mm.
So, you know, it's really, I think, to me, and it's why I try to convey to my kids, is try to figure out what you're really good at and combine that with, you know, what you want to do.
Mm.
And if you can figure that out, then you will be happy. You will have the kind of job that you should have and be able to do what you want and probably make the kind of money that would suit you. It'll just kind of all fall into place.
So you
doesn't have to be a grand plan. It just has to be knowing yourself and then going from there.
And so your job is that you work as a managing editor and a lexicographer.
Right. So see, all the things that I do are kind of list related.
Yeah.
Lexicography is really just making lists. It's making a word list and then listing all the information about each word. That's mm-hmm. really what a dictionary is. It looks like paragraphs, but really they're mini lists containing certain features describing each word.
Yeah.
So in a way, that's a list-making thing. All, pretty much most of my books, because they're either reference books like that or these list books are lists. The Field Guide to Happiness was actually the first time I wrote paragraphs, and it was, like I said, it was easy to write the beginning part about lists, but then it got really hard, and I found that it was a great exercise for me. I had never really written prose, and part of the reason I've never attempted to write prose is that I really don't read fiction. I read only nonfiction.
Wow.
And I guess I did that from early on. First of all, I didn't see the point of fiction, to me personally. And I knew that the world of fiction was so big, I would never be able to attempt it in a lifetime. And I think that's just, it was too intimidating to me. Plus, I like that learning factor. So reading nonfiction books falls into that.
Now, that's interesting. Well, I did notice that most of your books are lists or dictionary-like resources. So I'm wondering if you can talk about what kinds of computer tools or other tools you use to collect your ideas.
Well, I guess for most of the time, for most of the books I've written, I have done them longhand in notebooks. I do that. Some of that has happened because I've always worked full-time. Even when I've done all these degrees, they've all been by distance learning. Even before it really became a term that people knew about, I was doing degrees that way because I didn't have a choice. Monetarily, I had to work.
Mm.
So if I was going to get these degrees, I was going to have to find some clever way of going about it. And I was lucky to find, you know, a university in England who started doing this long before anybody else did. So I was able to get my degrees in linguistics, which really helped me in my work.
Mm.
So, you know, I think that for me, writing the books all along has really been a side project. It's never been, I've never figured out how I could make a living just doing that. So I've always had my job, and then at night I sit and write in these notebooks. Now, I guess maybe over the last 2 or 3 years were the first times that I made, like, a small attempt to try to write on the computer, but it's just not quite right for me. I really do better with a notebook.
So you really, literally wrote all these books by hand and then put them into the computer.
They're in notebooks in the attic, yes.
Wow, because I just pictured, you know, linguistics, lexicographer, she must be this computer database type person. And
well, I have worked with computers for longer than I care to tell you, but they're a great tool. There's certain things that I never would have. I mean, how would anybody have ever figured out if I duplicated things in the 14,000 things to be happy about, or any of the other list books I did, if they weren't able to sort things and do checks like that. So it's a great tool.
But you still write in longhand.
It's just a lot of the stuff that I do, I'm reading, and then I take notes.
Mm.
So like a book that I worked on for 3 years was this one called Word Nerd, and it is it's basically 18,000 entries of the most interesting thing I could find about each word.
Mm.
So I was reading, you know, every dictionary and language book that I had in my possession and taking notes over 3 years and then typing it up. I mean, I was typing it up periodically so that I, in case I lost a notebook, I wouldn't lose all that work. So it was all done by hand. But then, you know, when I got done, I could see, did I do a word three times? Did I find different information about the word? And then I picked the most interesting thing, and that was in the book.
Very interesting.
So
I love the title, by the way. Word Nerd is just great. So do you carry notebooks around with you in your purse so that
yep.
you...
Yep. I have to say I don't do that as much as sitting at night with the notebook and doing that. Usually, if I since I work from home, when I'm out, you know, I'm driving and stuff, so I have the notebook there and I don't write as much down. But at night, I always have the notebook.
Wow. That is a great
notebook.
That's a great image. I bet, you know, it'll be a good thing for all the writers who listen to think about a new way to write is just to have a notebook with them at night.
Mm-hmm.
So
you can't, you know, it's very hard. A hard decision for me is whether to start writing something before I've sold the idea.
Mm.
And in my case, for the most part, I can't even say for the most part. I have to say it's kind of 50-50 that I've written some things that haven't been published yet, but like pieces of them have, you know, or I wrote something and then I was able to take some of the entries from it and put it in the Happy database.
Mm.
Or the Word Nerd one was an example of something I shouldn't have done, which was write it for 3 years and then try to sell it because I don't think it worked out very well. And it also kind of burnt me out. That was a little bit too long of a project.
Wow.
Too ambitious of a project.
Yeah, I wondered about that. I wondered about how you sustain those really long lists and those really long research projects.
Well, most of the time when it's a list book idea, it doesn't take more than a year, say. So that's pretty easy to do that because I'm not doing it 40 hours a week. I'm doing it however many hours around my 40 hours a week. So it's not bad. But the 3 years on that one book, that was too much.
That was a lot. So as a lexicographer and an author, do you have favorite reference tool books that you think all writers should have?
Well, I still really like books. I mean, they're all around me here, and I do really like books, but it's very tempting to just go right on the Internet and look things up. And it's sad, even for me, when I realize sometimes looking around which books I haven't picked up in a while.
Yeah.
But one of my favorite tools has always been Word Menu. It's a book that Random House published, and it's like a whole bunch of mini dictionaries with short definitions. So it's not your usual dictionary, but I think it's a great writer's tool because it's just got so much stuff in it about different topics. It kind of gets you going.
Wow, it's called Word Menu.
Word Menu, yep.
Great. Any other suggestions?
The guy that wrote it died before it was published. It was a sad story. It wasn't that old. And his wife had it published. So I'm pretty sure it's still in print. And, I wrote a book that actually is kind of good for writers. It's called The Flip Dictionary.
I thought that was a great one. Yeah, talk about that.
It's a reverse dictionary so that if you have the idea, you've got the idea on the tip of your tongue, but you can't think of the word, it should, in most cases, help you find the word.
So give me an example. You're thinking...
Well, let's see. I'll have to pull it down here. I'll give you a good example, because otherwise, if I try to think of something, it might not make sense. Well, let's see. If I was looking for... an S-shaped curve or molding in architecture. That's an ogee, O-G-E-E. Now, I don't know how you'd, you know, unless you were in architecture, how would you know what that was? So it's kind of like, or you think, what's that ocean wave that's destructive? Oh, that's a tsunami. So you look up ocean and you find it that way.
Oh, that's great. So you look up what you observe.
Right.
And the real word is there.
Right. So here's something, forbidden from disclosing details as a reporter, and that's a court order. I mean, there's a lot of things in here that are, the Flip Dictionary kind of combines thesaurus entries, where you just have synonyms,
mm-hmm.
and then these longer ones where it gives pretty much like a definition first, and then the word.
So it's good for those of us who sit around and say, what's that word for?
Well, hopefully, it's a start. If you think about it, there's a million words in English, so
you've
reversed all their definitions.
That would be a lot of writing.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Well, do you have a final tip you'd like to leave with our listeners?
I just think if you're a reader, it's important to always read what you like, not to force yourself to read other things. I mean, you think about how many books there are in the world. It's kind of silly to waste your time on anything that you're not getting something out of. So I always say to my kids, read, 50 pages, and if you don't like it, go on to the next thing, because I think it's very important to read what you like. And the same thing with, if you like to write stuff, don't think about it too much. There's always doubt involved with writing, and especially if you try to publish it, you have to deal with all the rejection. But it's still worthwhile for you if you do it for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the main thing is to do it for yourself, and then the rest will kind of come.
Oh, that's great. Thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thank you. I'm glad my voice held out.
Oh, me too, because you had so many good things to say. Thanks, Barbara.
Thank you very much.
This has been another edition of Always Right with Rochelle, the Right Now Coach. You can find a link to Dr. Kipfer's website and her newest book at my website, rightnowcoach.com. Thanks for tuning in, and remember to always write.